Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast may contain coarse language. Listener's discretion is advised. Also, this podcast will obviously contain spoilers for Demon Slayer. Please beware. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to the Demon Slayer podcast. I'm your host, VLord GTZ, and with me today, I have our returning co-host, Laser Kid.
But am I really here, or am I dead?
I mean, you're speaking to us, so I'd like to assume that you are with the living.
Well, I could just be cut into pieces, and you could just be talking to one of my emotions.
I guess, yeah, you could be an emotion of some sort, but what emotion would you be?
At this point, depression.
Ah, that one hurts.
Not really, but you know.
Yeah, but today we're back at it again to talk about the newest episode of the Swordsmith Village arc, which is episode 4. And we had like a big conflict start in the previous episode with the appearance of Hatengu in the Swordsmith Village and him splitting into his multiple forms of emotions. And it seems like this might be a emotional fight of some sort.
All I can say is that you're tearing him apart.
But where's Lisa?
In Robotech?
Fair enough.
I thought about saying the whole thing, and I'm like, I don't know where Lisa is, so I don't know where to say that. And then you knew my reference anyway.
Yes, but this episode kind of started off with Tokito getting into the conflict with some mysterious creatures that have appeared around the village, which are like fish-like. They kind of remind me of the fish guy from Slayers.
And not just me, then. I was going to say, and Nunsa has made his cameo.
Yes, Nunsa, that's his name.
Don't ask me why I know that. Don't ask me. I know that, but don't ask me why I know that.
I mean, he's a very memorable design character.
Yes, he really is. And I'm glad that I'm not the only one that I thought I was going to be like the only one that was like, yeah, hi, Slayers. How you doing?
Demon Slayer stealing from Slayers. Who would have guessed?
I mean, they're both Slayers of some variety. In fact, actually, Slayers are also Demon Slayers. So, you know, yeah.
Yeah, it works out.
Lena Tanjiro crossover win?
Yeah, I mean, if only. That'd be pretty hype.
Actually, that would be amazing.
Yeah, but the bulk of this episode, though, is very much focused on Tanjiro and his battle with the different forms of Hatengu and him like trying to figure out like what's really going on with Hatengu's body. And what comes to fruition is like a bunch of like really awesome like action sequences, both with Tanjiro's conflict with like say the winged version of Hatengu and like even Genya coming back into the fray and fighting back, Nezuko getting some action,
all three of them just getting destroyed but pushing through anyway. It's like watching a freaking WWE wrestling match this episode.
It very much kind of feels that way, yeah, because like there's this back and forth of sorts where it's like you think, oh no, one side's finally gonna fall, and then nope, plot twist. They're back up at it again, the fight's continuing.
It was only a two count! It was only a two count, they got back up!
Yeah, nah, it's totally like that.
But Hago Nezuka got the chair.
Yeah, nah. And it's like, it's so interesting to kind of see a conflict like this again, because like, we're right after Entertainment District, you're kind of expecting, okay, we're gonna have a little bit of a slow burn and then a really big fight, but the fight kind of has escalated right away, and we're already kind of like hitting a very high intensity.
Yeah, there is a tiny bit of rest, but not as much as you expect, and there is no buildup. It's suddenly, we're here now.
Yeah, the switch just turns on, and it's like, dang, that was fast.
I really like this because it's unexpected. It's different. It distinguishes itself by doing this versus, you know, the buildup in, say, Entertainment District or even Mugen Train, where, you know, it still takes a little bit for it to really get there. This is just like, hi, we're invading your village. It's like having a creeper go off in Minecraft in your backyard and like, oh, hi there.
Yeah, I guess it kind of is. I mean, you have all the fish people literally attacking the village and like wrecking it. So,
yeah, we even have a crow saying the village is near total destruction.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's a lot building up here, and like even just seeing the intense action in this episode, you can only imagine how much more high the stakes can become. And honestly, like I was really like, I think especially impressed by a lot of the digital effects in this episode, especially with like the electricity effects that with Hatengu.
Very good vibrancy in the colors used and everything for that.
Yeah, it definitely kind of makes it far more of an intimidating fight, especially like when Hatengu strikes Nezuko with the staff, and it's
you viscerally feel it, man.
It's painful to look at.
Like I made the wrestling comparison / joke, but I seriously, ow, everything, everyone goes through fighting in this fight just looks painful on either side.
Yeah, I mean, you thought Genya was the only one that's going to get some bad flesh wounds here after episode 3, but no, like, they're all pretty deep into it with, like, injuries now.
Can we talk about how Genya is just like, psych, you didn't get me. Psych, I'm still alive. Psych, I'm going to make a Buddhist mantra at you. Psych, I'm going to shoot you!
Yeah, I mean, who else is bringing a gun to a sword fight?
Nobody else in Demon Slayer. Yeah, you know, we may as well just give him the term, the title of Indiana Jones or Indiana Genya.
Oh my God, Indiana Genya. That's his new name.
His new name is Indiana Genya.
Yeah, I mean, for generations, Demon Slayers have used swords to cut down demons. Then Genya just comes in with a gun.
he's just waiting. He's just like, no.
Technology, guys.
I love that the demon has no idea what it is. I love that. They're really playing with the guns are still pretty new in this area. So when he gets shot, he does not know what to make of it. Wonderful touch.
Yeah, no, that's something I didn't notice right away, but I was like, wow, yeah, that's actually a good point. Genya's using the element of surprise with his gun. But yeah, no, like, I always love, like, Genya scenes in the series, because, like, one, the concept of just a guy with a gun in a world with a bunch of swords is just really cool. But, like, also just, like, his, like, expressions in this fight, too. Just that constant intensity on his face. It's, like,
oh,
it's
gosh.
Great.
He's got, like, demon smiling levels going on, but he's Lair. He belongs in Helsing Ultimate.
I mean, considering some aspects of his character, yeah, it's not far off of a comparison.
Oh, God, I didn't realize how deep that actually cut. Help. I was just kidding around. I was just kidding around, but you're right.
Okay, where's our Genya Helsing spinoff?
Indiana Genya, the vampire hunter.
Indiana Genya D.
Oh, my God.
Now that's a triple crossover right there.
It's the crossover we all deserve.
Yeah, though hopefully Genya doesn't like go to the same like vampire mansion like 3 times in the same book.
Oh God.
Vampire Hunter D is fun, but that first book is kind of rough at times.
Yeah.
Just kill the vampire D. Just kill him.
That would be too easy. I'm gonna beat up his guys and then leave.
Literally, just go one extra step.
No. See, I mean, but then I don't get to come back and be like, I kicked all your guys' asses, and then I'm gonna kick some more of their asses, and then leave again.
Yeah, nah, it's like, it's so funny. I was listening to the audiobook like a few months ago for the first novel, and I'm like, man, just get over with it. We know you can win, man.
We all know that you're a badass. Come on, D. You can do it.
Also, the entire like backstory for that world is just like completely ridiculous.
It's bonkers. It's up there with Castlevania, honestly. In fact, there's a lot of cross contamination there, I think.
There it very much is, I feel. Yeah, but that's enough talking about Vampire Hunter D. That's a story for another time.
The Vampire Hunter D podcast coming soon to the V-Lord podcast universe.
I mean, there's enough novels to justify it and still released in English somehow. Yeah, so.
That's fair. That's true.
Maybe one day.
God, I'm going to have to buy those now.
Yeah, there was like a Humble Bundle for them like a while back. I think I have like 29 of them.
Damn.
It's a lot.
I think I actually may have done that too and just forgot about it. There's so much in Humble I have that I forget I have.
Yeah, we can check after this recording.
Yes.
But yeah, what else really stuck out to you in this episode, Laser? How did it make you feel inside?
Honestly, it was really tense just with everything. I was just like waiting to see what was going to happen. I know in the back of my head because I've read the manga, but it's been long enough that I don't remember all the smaller details. I remember how this ends, but it's one of those things where it's like, wow, this is playing out really fun to watch. And honestly, everything flowed really well. This is some of their best. I mean, UFO Table never fails, but damn, pretty. The pretty is real.
Yeah, like I feel like the pretty is real kind of sums up Demon Slayer at this point pretty well.
But yeah. Like,
it's so true, though. Like the consistency, the visual fidelity of this episode, it's all beautiful, it's all perfectly done, it enhances the manga, it's great.
It's the definitive way to experience Demon Slayer, and the manga's great, but this is just that much better.
Yeah, nah, like it's a very much a series that takes advantage of the fact that it has animation to bring more of the world to light.
Absolutely. And it takes the fact that, you know, it's a finished manga at this point. They definitely expand on things. They definitely did that last arc, and I'm really looking forward to see what they'll do here.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, there's, like, little things here and there that they've definitely been adding, like, actually showing Hagane Nezuka, like, handing Tanjiro his new sword.
Yeah, and,
like,
yeah.
Just like smaller, like extending certain scenes. So like there's definitely been a lot of like care put into that. And even in this episode, like the part where like Tanjiro has to like essentially latch on to the winged version of Hatengu to like get back to where Nezuko is. Like that entire like sequence of him like in the air back to the manor was just super cool.
Absolutely. Very well done.
Yeah, I mean like Demon Slayer.
Demon Slayer pretty.
Yeah, Demon Slayer is constantly beautiful and doesn't miss a beat.
No, it's always a joy to just watch. And this week is no exception. I would actually say this is one of the better ones I've seen. Like, it's not like top here. It's not End of Entertainment District good. This was really good.
Yeah, no, I definitely would agree. Yeah, I mean, do we have any other strong thoughts about this episode? Anything that we're excited for I guess episode 5 and onwards?
I really enjoyed watching Nezuko really well, Nezuko and Tanjiro looking out for each other, just showing how much they really do care about each other. That's some good stuff.
Yeah, I'd say like people that have complained about Nezuko not doing enough in the previous arcs, I think will be very happy about her active role in this arc compared to the previous ones.
Absolutely. That's one of the reasons this is my favorite arc.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has a lot of bonus points for that. And I think, like, even though Zenitsu and Inosuke aren't in this arc, I think this arc does a very good job of handling its supporting cast, particularly Genya, Tokito, and Kanroji, as we kind of alluded to at the end of the episode. Kanroji's coming back to kind of help with the conflict, so we'll see more of her, of course. But even just the little bits of Tokito we see in this episode, like the flashes to his past and how he met the master of the Demon Slayer Corps, Ubayashiki and like kind of those hints to like what his previous life was like, I think definitely enriches him as a character in like a short bit where it doesn't detract away from the action, but you still understand where he's coming from a lot better.
Absolutely.
It's like those little things that Demon Slayer does that really kind of like builds its cast, but not like having to like solely take you away out of the action to do that. So it's nice.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited to see more of the onslaught of action that we're going to get in these coming episodes. It's only going to get more intense.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to see some crazy, crazy shit. I think they may well top that themselves again.
Oh, I'm fully expecting it. I would expect nothing less from you for Table at this point.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Indeed. But,
yeah, I think I'm hyped for episode 5 and onwards. I'm sure you are as well, Laser.
Oh, yes.
And yeah, here's to more exciting Demon Slayer in the weeks to come. But yeah, I mean, I think if that's about it, we can get out of here. So, Laser, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at LaserKidPrime. You can find my Toonami-focused editorials over on Toonami Faithful, as well as you can hear both of us occasionally on the Toonami Faithful podcast.
Awesome. As for myself, you can find me on Twitter at VLordGTZ, and I write various things for all-comic.com, as well as ToonamiFaithful.com, so you can check out my writing over there. And as far as podcasts go, I do a number of podcasts with Laser and a bunch of other people. Laser and I together do the Dumb Weebs podcast at Dumb Weebs Pod. And then I also do Saturday Night Shaggy at Sat Night Shaggy and Oversoul Shaman King podcast at Shaman King Pod. And yeah, you can go check out those if you want to see the greater V-Lord podcast universe as we've jokingly called it at this point.
I joked it into existence somehow.
Yeah. But as far as the Demon Slayer podcast is concerned, you can find that on Twitter at DSlayer Podcast, on Facebook at facebook.com/Demon Slayer Podcast, and on the Toonami Faithful website itself at ToonamiFaithful.com/Demon Slayer Podcast. And the podcast is on basically every platform at this point. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podbay, you name it, we're there. So go look us up. Listen to our episodes, give us a rating or review if you feel like it, and yeah, just enjoy the content. And if you want to get early access to our episodes, get bonus content, or even outtakes from our episodes, you can join the Demon Slayer Podcast and V-Lord Podcast Universe Patreon over on patreon.com/Demon Slayer Podcast Universe. And shout out to our newest patron, Elite Nectar. Thank you for joining the Patreon, and we appreciate your support. If you want to join Elite Nectar over on the Patreon, definitely go do so. We're going to have some amazing content over there, so we'd really love to grow the community even more.
Thanks for backing us, Elite Nectar. We appreciate you.
For sure. But that about does it for this episode, so we will see you guys later.
Elite Nectar is safe, because Elite Nectar is on the train, where nothing bad happens.